because I'm about to talk about God's commandments to husbands and wives. And whilst I know that sounds as a negative, but you'll see it in context, hopefully, when I finish here. So let's first pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would guide our hearts and minds. Lord, that I would speak truth, not from my own understanding, but Lord, from the word that you have sent to us. Lord, you have given it to us. It is a precious gift and a blessing. Lord, that we would be challenged, encouraged, and touched. Lord, that each one of us would walk out of this building a different person today, having heard from the creator of the universe, the God that created the seas, the heavens, the oceans, the animals. He created you and me. Lord, you are wonderful. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, we pray that your word would continue to guide and inform our lives. Lord, that we would continue to live according to your word, according to your calling. And in particular, Lord, that we would adhere to what you've called us to do in our relationships, particularly with our family. Amen. So, before I start, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer. This section talks about husbands and wives, but it's not just about husbands and wives. It's just typically under that title. It then moves on to children and parents and slaves and masters, and particularly slaves and masters we would understand a little bit more in terms of employer-employee. However, this has applications for everything, for every single Christian. Secondly, there are people in different walks of life who are experiencing different things. This might be pointed towards them. It's not specific. I semi-decided on this when I was going to the dentist in Melbourne one day. And on the way back, I was going to listen to a sermon in the car, and I just looked up one that was called Slaying Dragons. And I thought, oh, that'd be interesting because I like dragons. And it was a sermon literally on this section of scripture, which I'd already thought of preaching on. And so some people might feel this is particular to them. And life is complicated, and we know that. So I would hope that you would take scripture for what it is. And once again, if you need to talk afterwards or ask questions, we are open for that. So let's get straight into it. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands or to your own husbands as to the Lord. In the world that we live in, does the current Western society like that verse of scripture? Wives, submit to your own husbands. Is that publicly palatable in our neo-Marxist, egalitarian, feminist world? No. No, correct. So, we have to deal with a few things. First, the world would say, well, what does it mean by submit? Or the other one is, if you don't like this verse in Scripture, it's like, well, what does it mean in the Greek? Now, unfortunately, Greek is complicated. It's not English. And the first thing I'd say is the word submit does not actually appear in the verse. The word submit, I think it's hypostasis. It's not actually in verse 22. It's actually in verse 21. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's where the word submit exists. It just simply says, and wives to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, the fact that it doesn't say it doesn't mean it's not implied. It's a way of writing. It's actually, some people actually say it's a smart way of writing. They're creative with the way I wrote it. So the example I was thinking of is, imagine if I said to my kids, go pick up your clothes from the bedroom and also from the hallway and from the living room. And they get to the hallway and they go, well, you didn't tell me to pick up my clothes in the hallway. It says to submit to each other out of reverence, wives, submit to your husbands. And the word submit, it's a little bit subjective, but the passage that always comes to mind was Jesus Christ's life on earth. He submitted to his Father. He did not do according to his will, but the Father's will. And so when we say that word submit, that's the word, that's sort of the context I want you to think of. Now, some people in our society, even our Christian society, will do what I like to sort of call linguistic gymnastics. They'll take words out of context, they'll flip things, they'll bring references, they'll go, well, here's an Old Testament verse and here's something that someone else said, and try and make it sound or make this verse say something completely different. There's translations of the Bible that will say things completely different. But when you read all of this in context, there's no escaping this simple fact that God commands wives to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Now, the words, it doesn't say husbands and wives. It actually says the words that's generic for men and women, which can be husbands, wives, men, women, and a combination of both. But if you read down to verse 31, it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is talking about husbands and wives. Now, it says, women to submit to your husbands, not all men and not all women. Women are to submit to men as to the Lord. Not because your husband deserves it, but you're submitting as reverence to Christ. To refuse to adhere to these sections of Scripture is sinful. And don't worry, like if the men are sitting there going, yeah, this is awesome, well, we're going to get to you later. It needs to be free, willing. Submission is willingly acceding authority to someone else. Joyful. And we don't do it because our husband deserves it. We do it because Christ commands it. John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, it must be said that there are some exceptions to certain things. God says he hates divorce, but there are sometimes grounds, infidelity, denying the faith. The Bible does not say that a wife should submit to a husband who is abusing his authority to hurt her or children. There is wisdom in this. However, these are not the context of what Paul's message to the Ephesians is in this. He's not saying that women need to suffer in agony, but he's saying that women in general need to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Continues in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and he's himself its saviour. Verse 23 is another one of those sections of Scripture where there is a lot of work about what the word head means. Christ is the head of the church, husband is the head of the wife. The word's kephale. And people will argue it means a bunch of different things. I've even read one that says, oh, it's also the same word that was used about the entryway to a river, and that for it's the source, it's not headship, it's not leadership, it's the source. And I'm just thinking, what, like, really? Like, Jesus is saying that, like, I'm the head of a river. The reality is that headship is about leadership. Adam was the head of Eve. I'll give you an example. Who sinned first out of Adam and Eve? Eve sinned first. Eve ate from the fruit and gave it to her husband. He ate it. Who does God blame? Adam. Adam was responsible for his wife and he failed in his headship. And because of that, sin entered the world. I always like to hold a hypothetical. What if Eve sinned and then Adam condemned her and said she's not to do that? Would we be where we were? Now, I know that's a hypothetical, but I always find it interesting the way that God holds Adam responsible for the sins of his wife. Headship matters. And notice that here it says that the husband is the head of the wife. It doesn't say the husband should be the head of the wife. It says the husband is the head of the wife. I'll give you an example of bad headship in fatherlessness. I looked at two different statistics this morning. Fatherless statistics. These are children growing up in a house without a father. And so powerful is male headship that even a positive male role model in the house when the father is not there has massive benefits to the children and the family. If a child grows up in a fatherless house, they're 2 to 3 times more likely to be poor, use drugs, have poor education, health, emotional behaviour issues, victims of child abuse and engage in criminal behaviour. Another one said they're 4 more times likely to live below the poverty line, 2 times more likely to drop out of school. In families where there is no father present, there is 2 times infant mortality due to early birth and low birth rate, birth weights. Increase in crime, increase in teen pregnancy, an increase in self-deletion. Husbands, you are the head of your household, whether you're there or not. This is a grave responsibility. Now, you notice I've very quickly gone from wives submitting to husbands as to husbands being the head. They ask to submit, but you are to be the head of the family. You're responsible for your family. Now, there are some very unfortunate circumstances in our community, in our church, in our friends, where through no fault of their own, husbands or wives are not there, and that is a tragedy. And that is what a church community is for. We don't live in a perfect world. We don't live with perfect people. But Christ calls us to live a Christ-like life, regardless of that. So when you think of marriage, marriage is not a reward that God gives us in life. Marriage is a reflection of Christ and his church. The husband's ahead of the wife as Christ's ahead of the church, his body and himself its Savior. God didn't invent marriage as a reward for us. Marriage is so we can see a reflection of Christ's love and relationship for its church. So Jesus is the head of the church. What did he do for his church? He left heaven, he lived as a human, he suffered and died for our sin. Not his. When it says the husband's the head of the wife, our example is Christ. When it says, wives, submit to your husbands, your example is Christ. And we don't do it for reward. We do it because Christ wants us to be like who? Like Christ. We are called to be like him, and he is able to command and ask that of us. Verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit in everything to your husbands. The best quote I found on submission was, willingly yielding to the will of another with humility, respect, and obedience. We can sometimes submit to authority begrudgingly, with arms crossed, with furrowed brows. See, I submitted under great duress. Now, is it easy? No. The Bible doesn't ask us to do things because they're easy. It tells us to do things because they're right. What's easy in life? Sin. Who has kids? Who has children out there spent hours and hours and hours teaching your children to be selfish, self-centered, rude, ignorant, lacking of empathy? Who spends a second teaching your kids to sin? Now, whose kids sin? The natural state of human beings is to sin. Parents spend their entire lives trying to model an example and discipline and lead their children into not sinning. This is our nature. We don't leave it behind when we become adults. It just changes forms. We are good at hiding it. So how does a world look like when women don't submit to their husbands? Divorce, conflict, children misled, abused, poor, submission to singleness, submission to poverty, submission to employment, submission to the government, hypergamy, which is what we have in a society when men and women do not marry and stay together for the rest of their life. Men shop around for the best they can get. Women hope. 70% of the men can't find a date and 70% of the women are dating 2 guys. It's a mess. And to the women, thank you for listening to that. 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So when I said women submit to your husbands as to the Lord, the question is like, well, what does submit mean and what does the Greek say? And so now the husbands say to me when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What do you mean by love And what does the Greek say? Which love is it? There's three types of love, or four, but we'll go with the three basic ones: eros, phileo, and agape. Phileo is like, I love my iPod, my iPad, my Xbox, or it can even just be like. And there's eros, is where we get the word erotic. I'll let you fill in the blanks on that one. The husband's like, please let it be that one. No, it's agape. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. You notice agape is the word love. The word love, agape, is used repeatedly in the Bible when it's talking about loving your enemies. When it says love your enemies, it doesn't say phileo or eros, it says agape. This is a sacrificial love. Now, in marriages, there is reciprocation. There is joy to be had. But Christ is commanding husbands to love their wives. And the example of Christ, who gave up everything to leave heaven. There is no earthly possession you could have that would measure to what Christ left in heaven. Christ died on the cross for our sins. There is no injustice you as a husband could suffer worse than that. Now, Christ doesn't call us to suffer for suffer's sake, but Christ has been in our place and he knows what it's like. He's not calling us to do something he does not know. It is wonderful to have a God that can empathize directly with what we are feeling and what we are going with. He is not an unknowing, unknown God. He is a God who has lived on this earth and suffered as we now suffer. Husbands, you're not just to love your wives, but you are to give yourself up for them. What are you supposed to give up for your wife? Your lives. I always use the analogy that Jesus came and in one day he was beaten, mocked, and crucified and died. A husband, you were to do the same thing over the course of your entire marriage. You were to slowly give of yourself to your wife and to your children, to your church, and your community. That is what Christ has called men to do. Some people may say, but what if my wife is or does? The church was sinful, rotten, evil, vicious, an adulterer, a slanderer. And Jesus gave his life up for that. Matthew 16:24 says, Jesus, he calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. As a Christian, we may be called to give up our life for Christ's name. And right now, he is calling you to give up that hold that you can have on what's yours for your family. Now, I'm not suggesting that you don't eat and you don't do anything because you have to give everything away. I'm saying you need to be responsible and put your family above those of your own. 26-30. I'll read from 25. Husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. I like the word nourish and cherish. It doesn't say tolerate and accept or begrudgingly. Nourish and cherish. What do you think when you think the word nourish and cherish? I don't know why, but I think of like a really hearty meal or something that you put on a pedestal, something that is of great wealth. To a husband, your wife is something of great wealth that you are to nourish and cherish. 31-33, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's tacked on a respect at the end there. Wives are to submit and now respect your husband. But what if my husband doesn't deserve respect? Well, he probably doesn't all the time. So what does the world look like when husbands don't love their wives like Christ loved the church? Remember the list I gave you before? It's the same. Divorce, conflict, children misled, submission to singleness, submission to poverty, submission to employment, submission to selfishness. Marriage is a reflection of Christ's role in salvation and the redeeming of the church. So what is it really asking us to do? Wives are to respect their husbands, submit, help. Eve was made as a helper because men need help. We do. Life is so good to have somebody who is a helper. Children, one thing I told Claire I wasn't going to use any examples, but I'm going to break that rule. When I get home, there's always a fight in the hallway, and there's typically tears because I'll open the door and everyone will run as a little competition of who can get there first. And that was Chloe's design. She did that, and I appreciate it. If people come and visit us, our kids will run to the end of the street and stand on the corner of the street. I know it's dumb and daggy, but I think people driving away think that's really nice. We don't just close the door and let them drive out the driveway on their own. Submission and respect is complicated. What do you do if your husband sins or is sinning? What if your husband is an unbeliever? There are no easy answers to this. But when Christ is your model, you have a pretty good example of what you should do in these circumstances. His grace will be sufficient for you. Life may not be easy, but we are called to follow Christ. What can men do? Love sacrificially. Lead well. Consider your wife's wishes, needs, and feelings over your own. Or at least take them in the balance when making decisions. It's not loving to just simply do everything your wife wants. That's not what it talks about. You are to still lead. Provide for your wife. How do you look? I always write this down. Sometimes I've heard some men at work complain about their wife and the way that they looked. And I said, if you're a woman, would you date you? He didn't like what he heard because I think the answer is he probably would have said no. You need to set the spiritual temperature in your household. A lot of times the husband is not always there, so it doesn't mean you have to put in the hours, but you set the temperature. You set the example. You set the standard. And finally, husbands, do not invert scripture for your own purposes. If you read the husband is the head of the wife and somehow think this is about how you get something, you're mistaken. And that is sinful. When it says the husband is the head of the wife, it means she is your responsibility. God took one of his daughters and gave her to you. To any men with daughters who look forward to that wonderful day when some daggy, snot-nosed person wants to date your daughter. Like, I love my daughter. I love my sons. I love my daughter. And I want the best for them. Jesus Christ loves his daughters, and he placed one of them in your responsibility, in your charge. So all the kids have been sitting there going, oh, this is awesome. Mum and dad are getting ripped into. Have you read chapter 6? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But it doesn't just say obey. It says honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. What was the promise? Does anyone know what the promise was? so that you may live long in the land. I'll translate it for you, kids. Honor your fathers and mothers so that you don't die. Why do we discipline our children? Say you smack a child, you physically discipline, they feel pain. Why? Because sin leads to death and pain is a reminder of where sin heads. Once again, husbands, we don't escape. I know it's talking about children. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves and masters, it continues. No matter what role we are in life, we are to be Christ-like in it. No matter what the suffering, we may be beaten and thrown in jail, but we're to be Christ-like. We're not to whinge and complain. We're to sing songs and hymns and psalms. It's hard to submit in love when the other is not modeling those things. But Christ calls you to lead or to submit. Sometimes marriages are like diamonds. You just need time and pressure. You can't make a diamond quickly, but with time and pressure, you make a diamond. Single men and women, you're either future husbands or wives, or people who God has given the gift of being single. So what does this mean? Women are to submit to their husbands joyfully, willingly. Not because he deserves it, but because Christ does. And he calls you to model his love. Husbands, love your wives not because they deserve it, but because Christ calls you. He gave you one of his precious daughters and you are to love her more than yourself. If your question is, how could I possibly? Jesus will say, my grace is sufficient for you. If your question is, how could I forgive? Jesus says, well, I forgave you. And look at the world. This is the Bible's guidance for what family, Christian, husbands, wives, fathers, employers are supposed to look like. What does the world look like? Does the life out there look like something we want to replicate? We're supposed to be getting so much more enlightened and so much more better. Gee, there's some good English. So much better, and everything is getting worse. And it's almost like the more we try to fix things without Christ, the worse it gets. And as a Christian, this is great because we are no longer a reflection of the world. There was a period of time in a Judeo-Christian society when Christians and society were sort of the same. A lot of people adhered to those values. And then there was a period of time where the church and society started to pull apart. The values started to go in different directions. Divorce used to be hated and shunned. Now people have divorce parties. We are becoming separate from the world we live in now because it's becoming separate from Christ. And his values. What would the world call Ephesians 5 in our neo-Marxist world where there's the oppressor and the oppressed? This is why you can have a group called Queers for Palestine. I know it makes no sense, but they have a commonality. Because even though a queer person would not be able to live in Gaza, they have a commonality because they see themselves as the oppressed versus the oppressor. And in that, they have an alignment. A Marxist would read Ephesians 5 and say, wives submitting to your husbands, that's oppression. And the husband is the oppressor. What does Christ call us to do? If the husband is the head of the household, is the oppressor, then so is Christ. He is an oppressor. Oppressors are evil. They would call Christ's love for his church an abomination. Evil. So what should we do? The first thing is I'd call everyone to repentance. Hopefully every time you read the word, that's the first thing that enters your mind of how much I fall short of what Christ calls and demands of me, of how great his love is, because despite my life, he died for me. Because where repentance and sin exists, grace abounds. I want grace in my family. I want grace in this church family. We are not perfect, but Jesus Christ is. I want this community to be a light in the dark and evil world that is around us. I want people to see us Christians and go, you guys are weird. Which is good. We are weird. We walked in and we sang four songs to a God we can't see because we worship him. That is not normal to a godless society. We do things that are not cool. But we're the light in this dark world. We shouldn't look like the world. We're supposed to look different. I want people to see our families and go, I know there's so much in that family that's like the world, but something's different about that. Something's different about the way you interact. That Christian wife, she acts differently than I would. That Christian husband, he is different to how I would be. Children, obey your parents. Slaves, obey your masters. Employers, employees, obey your employers. And why can Christ ask this? Because we are all required to submit to the Lord. And Christ himself submitted to his Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so very, very big, and we are so small. But Lord, despite our sin, our shortcomings, and our failures, you still love us. You called us in spite of us. And even though we constantly fail you, Lord, you keep pursuing us. Lord, I pray that husbands would keep pursuing their wife until their very last breath on earth. I pray that husbands, you would make it easy for your wife to submit to you because you love them like Christ loved the church. Wives, I pray that you would make it easy for husbands to lead you. Because leading a godly woman is a blessing. For the single people in this church, I pray that they would find a spouse. They would find what is good. Lord, I pray that we would share the gospel to bring more people in to your church, to hear your word, so that people would know the majesty of the God who created this universe, of the Son who came and died on the cross for all of us. I pray that children would obey and honor their mothers and fathers. That, Lord, as a church, we would submit to each other out of reverence. And, Lord, that you would give us the strength to submit everything that we have to you, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Let them count not against us. And let our names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that on that final day when we see you face to face, you'll welcome us in as that good and faithful servant. Amen.